Well, we have been doing a study this year on the Bible as the Word of God. We looked at, you know, how did we get it? Inspiration, revelation, preservation, all that kind of thing. Which Bible should I use? And spent a good amount of detailed study on that. But then, you know, as we kind of start to wind down the study, the bottom line is it doesn't matter if you have the right Bible if you never use it, right? It doesn't make that much difference if you have the wrong Bible if you never use it. But definitely, it's not just enough to know which one we should have and which one, you know, is the right one. We've got to use it. And so we've been talking about, you know, the practical application. How do I understand and use my Bible? Well, how do I understand it part? We've talked about interpretation from a literal, grammatical, historical perspective. Okay, literal meaning the Bible is literally true unless it's obviously meant to be taken otherwise. Jesus spoke a parable. Okay, that was a story that was told, those kinds of things. But so many things in the Bible, unbelievers try to explain away as not literal. It's a, you know, just a picture or whatever. Grammatical, meaning the words matter. You got to pay attention to those things. And then historical. The Bible's not only historically accurate, but we've got to understand it in its historical context, which means, okay, what was the historical setting or what was the culture when Abraham lived? Okay. When Job lived, when he lost all of his camels and sheep, what did that mean to him? Well, in his day, wealth was measured in livestock. Okay? And so it would be the same as saying today somebody was a millionaire and then their bank account was drained down to zero. But those kinds of historical things, what was the historical setting? And all of those things factor into it. So now let's talk a little bit today. Without rehashing all of those things, we also spent a little bit of time talking about, you know, a wrong method of interpretation, and that is, you know, to spiritualize things. And another major thing, almost all other systems of interpreting the Bible, other than what we've described as a literal method of interpreting the Scripture, almost all other systems, in some way or another, try to explain the New Testament church as having taken the place of Old Testament Israel. Well, we spent a good bit of time explaining why that's not the case from the Bible. And before I forget, let me mention this. Dr. Childs found us several copies of this little booklet. It's out of print. This one was reprinted by Scripture Truth. Okay, I think that Dr. Childs and C.I. Schofield were contemporaries. You didn't hear him. He said they played marbles together. But anyway, Dr. Schofield, while we would have to put a disclaimer on his gap theory in Genesis 1, he put out a lot of other materials that are very useful and helpful. And so, Randy, if you and the men, you want to go ahead and pass these out now so I don't forget. I was trying to promote this as being faded red, these little booklets, but, you know, it's pretty much Pepto-Bismol pink. But anyway, that part doesn't matter, and if it bothers you that much, you can fold the cover back. We have enough for one per family, not necessarily one per person, but one per family. And this is just simply, it's like 35, 40 pages, okay? So everybody can read it, and it's just a kind of a little simple handbook. You can stick it in your Bible cover, you can read through it, but it has a 3-4 page breakdown on the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God, or distinctions between the church and Israel and those kinds of things. It has a breakdown on the two Advents, in other words, the first and second coming of the Lord Jesus. Dr. Child's got it memorized. He doesn't need, you know. And just some basic things. Hey, I'm looking for a quick refresher. I mean, I know I've heard the preacher preach on this before, but I don't remember, okay? Well, that's the idea of this, okay? It is Sunday school, but there won't be a quiz on this next week, okay? This is just for your benefit, for your study, and I think for most of you, it'll be a help and a good refresher. If it's not, there will come a time, if you're like, well, I pretty much got this, and there's a few of you that are Bible college students, you're like, okay, well, I've got this, and I've got better tools, all right? Well, then take it, ask the Lord to give you somebody to disciple, and give it to them, and go through it with them, okay? So, either way, it's just a good, simple introduction. This isn't a 300-page textbook on everything there is to know about understanding the Bible, but it's a great, simple introduction to some of the key points, okay? So if we have any extras there, Brother Bunn, you know, we'll just put them in the back. And anyway, it's kind of a review on a number of the things that we've talked about and some handy references and stuff. So we hope that'll be a help to you, and appreciate Dr. Child's suggestion and helping us find it. So we hope that'll be a benefit to you. All right. So now, with that said, let's move on from right method of interpretation, wrong method of interpretation. Let's move on to practical application. Okay, how do I do this? How do I use this? Well, let's start with personal preparation. Okay, the Bible is not just any other book. Okay, we established that way back when. I gave you quotes from men who are critics of the Bible that said the Bible should be studied like any other textbook. Therefore, we should approach it this way. The Bible's not just like any other textbook. It's the Word of God. And so it requires some things. First of all, it requires salvation. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are," what? "Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." The Bible tells us straight up, if you are not saved, you're not going to understand most of the Bible. Now, I be careful, I didn't say all the Bible. Because if that were true, how are you going to explain the gospel to a lost man and have him get saved? Okay, just be careful how you say that. But the truth is, the majority of things in Scripture don't make sense. People say, well, the Bible doesn't make much sense. Okay, don't criticize or ridicule them for that. We got to have a starting point here. Are they even saved? Okay, when you get saved, 1 Corinthians, you know, goes on to explain how when we are saved, the Spirit of God comes to indwell us. All right? The only reason you can understand it is not because you're any better than any other natural man in Shelby. The only reason it makes any sense to you or me is because we have the Spirit of God living in us, and He helps us understand it. So what ground does that give me to brag? I understand it, you don't. There's nothing to boast of. It's all of God and not of us. And that's another theme that Paul has in 1 Corinthians. But obviously, you've got to be saved. If you're not saved, the things of the Bible don't make any sense. Okay? 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20 gives further elucidation on that point. 1 John 2:20 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Many of you used the word unction in a sentence this week. Probably not many. Okay? Now, we're going to talk today about studying the Bible, and how do I look that word up? Okay, but some of you already know what that means. That word unction, 1 John 2:20, "You have an unction from the Holy One and know all things." What does that word unction mean? It means anointing. Okay, and the picture that's used in the Old Testament of a priest being anointed, or a prophet being anointed, or like David being anointed to serve as king of Israel, that pouring out of the oil is a picture that's carried over in the New Testament of the Spirit of God being poured out upon believers. Okay? So that's the picture that's being used. You say anointing. What does that mean? Okay? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you get this warm, fuzzy feeling that might be God or it might be heartburn and you go nuts in a church service. Okay? That doesn't mean you got the anointing. But I'm going to tell you, if you take a poll in Cleveland County, there's a lot of people that think that's what the anointing is. Okay? Or something along that line. John 14, verse number 26. Let's look at that one together real quick, because I think this is important. John 14, 26. John 14, of course, in the early part of the chapter, you have the statements, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you." Things like that. Well, then later on, Jesus told him, "If I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter." Okay? Then we drop down to verse 26. "But the comforter, which is," who? "The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." All right? So if the Holy Spirit is going to bring all things to your remembrance, what does that mean? If you're going to remember something, you had to have heard it before, right? Okay? Now, there's two ways that's described here that the Spirit of God gives us understanding. One is to help us understand something we don't know. But another way the Spirit of God helps us is to bring, help us remember things that we've heard before. Okay? Can I just be really, really deep for just a minute? He can't bring it to your remembrance if you haven't put it in. I know that's a really deep concept, and it's early in the morning, okay? But, you know, try to stick with me on this point. Okay, you can smile, it's okay. But if you don't put it in, he can't bring it back later, okay? It's kind of like your bank account. I was really excited when I saw an ATM machine until I figured out, oh, they're going to take it out of my account. Okay, well, never mind, that doesn't help me. Unless you put something in there, you can't take something out. And the Spirit of God, one of the ways, have you ever just, whether you've been thinking about something, you know, trying to figure out something, or maybe you're dealing with a situation, all of a sudden, bam, here comes a verse you haven't thought about in weeks. You know what that is? That's not your wonderful memory. That's the Spirit of God bringing all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Sometimes it's a verse reminding you, hey, don't say what you're getting ready to. Sometimes it's a verse reminding you exactly what you, I mean, verse you hadn't thought of in weeks. That's the verse I need to try to continue this conversation with this person I'm trying to talk to about the Lord. You know, either way, that's the Spirit of God bringing things to your remembrance, okay? So many times, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God being our teacher, is presented as almost mystical. Like, okay, when the Spirit of God comes on you, then you're going to have just a special gift, and you'll know everything and understand everything and be able to explain everything, and you don't have, you know, either you have it or you don't. That's not how this works, okay? Part of the way the Spirit of God works is by bringing things to your remembrance. Another part is, at 1 John 2:20, you have an unction to understand all things in the context of trying to figure things out. As we study and as we seek, the Spirit of God gives us understanding, okay? When we talk about personal preparation, you got to be saved. You got to have the indwelling Spirit of God to help you understand. But let me ask you this. Please don't raise your hand. This is just for thought. How many times have you gone to the Bible and read something? You're like, oh, okay, oh, that'll make you sense. Let me back up, read it again. You done that before? Okay. Now, how many times have you done that and you back up and, you know, 2-3 times? That didn't make any sense. Let me see. Yeah, I got a commentary on Romans, or I got this set or that set. Let me go read it. And, you know, you go through 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. I don't want to say days, but how long is it before you stop and think, wait a minute, I should pray about this. Lord, would you help me to understand this? You see, another aspect of personal preparation is not necessarily the accumulation of a huge library. It is the preparation of prayer. Let's read some of these verses together. I'm going to hand them out so we can go through them a little bit quicker. So I'm going to start here with Tim. If you'd find Ephesians 1:18, Dr. Scoville, Psalm 119. If you'd find that, there's several there. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'll have you read a couple there. Daniel, 2 Timothy 2:7. Jeremy, 2 Kings 6, and verse number 17, okay? Ephesians 1 and verse number 18. All right, Pastor spent a good bit of time going through Ephesians chapter 1, and this phrase here in verse number 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, what, that's in the context of what? That's in the context of Paul praying for them. He said, this is my prayer for you, that your eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you can understand. Okay? We talked about that when we talked about understanding. One of the terms in the Scriptures for understanding is enlightened. Kind of the light bulb goes on. Paul said he was praying for them that they would be enlightened. I want you to notice this phrase here in Psalm 119. Doc, if you'd read verse 18. And then verse 34. And then verse 144, please. Thank you. Each of those, you know, Psalm 119, 18 says, you know, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In other words, God, if you don't open my eyes, I'm not going to be able to see it. All right? Every one of these other references that I gave you has that phrase, give me understanding, give me understanding, give me understanding. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7, Daniel.
Consider what I say.
The Lord give thee understanding. All right? 2 Kings, Jeremy. 2 Kings 6, 17. See, that one, I think there's an application for you and me. Elijah prayed that God would open the eyes of the young man. And I think that's a prayer that we need to make for ourselves. Hey, God, open my eyes that I can see what's already there. I mean, it was already there. God had already made preparations. The young man just didn't see it. But you see, I mean, I gave you a handful of references. We probably could have spent another 10 minutes reading references along that line. But understanding comes from whom? From God. Okay? It comes from the Spirit of God. And we could go to Psalm 19 in different places and talk about God hates presumption. Okay? So don't assume. Ask the Lord. Hey, Lord, as I open your word, would you help me to understand? Now, some people prefer to do it one way, some another. Maybe you prefer to have your prayer time and then read your Bible. Okay? Some folks would read their Bible and have prayer time, and you know, whichever way you do it, it doesn't matter. But before you open your Bible, you need to, if you don't already, develop a habit of saying, Lord, would you help me to understand? This is your word. And I don't want to apply it or misunderstand it. You know, apply it wrongly or misunderstand it. But see, before we talk about, hey, what books should I use to help me study? Let's back up and say, you know, books or no books. Understanding comes from the Spirit of God. Okay? And as such, there's a spiritual preparation. All right? Now, let's talk about some practical tools. Okay? A pen or pencil and paper. Okay, that was a nod to some of you that you know prefer to do it that way. Okay, however, I will say this: some of you that would prefer to take notes electronically, you have to apply Romans 13:14. Make no provision for the flesh. Okay, if you're going to use your Bible, your iPad, your laptop, you better figure out how to turn off all the other buzzes and dings. Phones have something wonderful called airplane mode. Basically means don't bother me. Now, on the airplane, you don't have those other services anyway, except you know some airplanes may have Wi-Fi. But if you put it on airplane mode, well, then it just becomes you know a brick instead of a connected device for a little while. But if you're going to use an electronic device to study, and then ooh, so and so texted me, ooh, here's the news. There was a you know whatever. It can really distract from what you're trying to do. Okay, so there are definite advantages to the old school pen, paper. You know, keep your thoughts together, notebook. But you know, what do you retain? Let me ask another way. Will you retain? Are you more likely to retain it a week from now? If you just read it, or if you read it and write something down. Okay? So, now let's start pen and paper. All right, let's talk about study helps. I'm going to try to give you some examples here. But, you know, a Bible dictionary. I brought some with me this morning. If you have a Strong's Concordance, there is a dictionary section in the back of it, which is helpful. But there are tools that are better, that are not expensive and not hard to use. This, if you're going to get one Bible dictionary, this is one of the best ones you could get right here. It's Vine's Dictionary of Old and New Testament. Okay? There is one that's just Vine's New Testament. This one is combined Old and New Testament words, so you have a one-volume Bible dictionary. All right? This word here, you know how, I'll give you an example. We all know there's different words for love, right? You have agape, or you have phileo, Philadelphia. Well, if you look it up in Strong's, it's not necessarily going to be easy to figure out which one's which. But you get a turn, you get one like this, it's going to break it down, all right? Here's some references that use this word. Here's some references that use this word. And it'll help you to sort out what's what, okay? But again, this one, you know, Vine's Bible Dictionary. Of course, I'm going to bring an Old Testament word study book. But I'm going to tell you, Wilson's Old Testament, now this, my copy looks like this. There's other copies that have a blue and white binding, okay? But Wilson's Old Testament Word Studies, in my opinion, is one of the best Old Testament Word Study books you will ever find for people that have never studied Hebrew, okay? Because he, you can't read it from there, obviously, but you might be able to see that there's columns here and then paragraphs here. Well, in the column part here, he will break it down by, all right, this definition of the word is used in these verses, and then this definition is used in these passages, and this definition is used in these passages. Or, you know, in other words, he'll break it down and give you some of the help so you don't get off the rails, okay? Because there are some words that have three different definitions, and they're very different. All right, so how do I know I'm getting the right one? Do I just pick the one that I like? I'll tell you where some guys get themselves in big trouble. They pick the one that preaches the best. Hey, that'll preach. Okay, well, better make sure that that's the right one for that passage, and if it is, go preach it. Okay, but anyway, for whatever it's worth, I'm not getting any kickbacks if you buy one, but that is a good tool for, you know, word studies as well. I brought a couple more. There's a bunch of these, varieties of these, but you ought to have, if you have Bible study tools, you ought to have a book on Bible manners and customs. Okay? How did they draw water and pour water? What did it mean when they ran out of wine and, you know, Jesus, they went to Jesus and said, hey, we're out, and they had these water pots for purifying? What in the world does that mean? Well, this is the kind of book that'll give you some of those kind of answers. Okay, it's manners and customs. The best part about this one is it's illustrated. There's pictures. Okay, so now you don't have there are many varieties of these. Okay, generally speaking, if you look at the first printing, the older ones are going to be more written by people that believe the Bible and aren't going to try to attack the Bible. There's some new ones that are okay, but just be careful they don't try to explain away the Bible. Right. There's another one. This is a Bible handbook. This is Unger's Bible handbook. Halley, you know, like Halley's Comet, okay? I don't think it's the same guy, but there's another. Halley's Bible handbook is the one that my dad had that I used to go get off the shelf and use when I was a teenager, you know. But a Bible handbook a lot of times gives you just an introduction to a short introduction to every book in the Bible. All right, what's the background of Haggai? Okay, who was king then? Was Israel free? Were they under bondage? You know, just simple things like that, kind of a summary of the message. But a Bible handbook, a book on manners and customs, or, you know, how did they do things in Bible times? Those are some simple things that, you say simple, that thing looks like it's 400 pages. It is, but you don't sit down and read it from cover to cover. Okay, there's an index in there, and you look up what you want, and you read one or two pages, and then you put it down. Then the next time you look up something, you find the subject, the index, and you look it up. So it's not that intimidating if you look at it that way, okay? But another thing you need is an unabridged English dictionary, or, you know, the best dictionary you can get a hold of, okay? Now, I put on here specifically Webster's 1828. I have a copy of that on my computer. Thought about, you know, demonstrating that this morning, but, you can still get reprints of Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. You can buy them online. There's, you know, different places you can buy it. There's a man that goes around to, you know, he may have been at the conference Jeremy was at this week. He a lot of times goes to Soul of the Lord conference, and when he's back and forth, he'll stop over at Ambassador and set up a book table. But he has reprints of that. Now, I've got some pictures here in a minute. But what I'm saying is you can get a reprint of that Webster's Dictionary for under $50. One of the things about Webster's 1828 is a lot of the examples that he uses are right out of the Bible. He'll use a dictionary, it'll give you a definition, it'll give you a sentence to illustrate how it's used. Webster used sentences out of the Bible to illustrate his dictionary, okay? A concordance. A concordance is a book that just helps you, you know, to look up things. It's like, if you think of it this way, what is a concordance? It is a massive index. Okay? You ever go to the index or table of contents to look up something? Some books, particularly Bible books, if you go to the back, it'll have a list of, all right, Ephesians chapter 1 was quoted on page 7, and, you know, Acts chapter 26 is quoted on page 141. It's an index. Well, what a concordance is, it's a massive index of all the words in the Bible. Okay? How many of you used strong concordance before? Most of you, not all of you. How many have used the Young's Concordance before? All right, that number just got cut by 2/3. I can tell you whatever I want, but if I show you pictures, you're more likely to remember it. That is the most common cover for a Webster's 1828, you know, a reprint of Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. Okay? Young's Analytical Concordance. I gave you, this is straight from Google Images. Okay? But there's different covers. But it just says Young's Analytical Concordance. Let's see if I can get it up there like that. Okay? There's, you know, different covers depending on who printed it and when. But what the difference between a Strong's Concordance is just a list of every word. Young's Analytical Concordance breaks it down. Very similar to what I told you with this one. It'll break it down and say, okay, there's three words that are translated love. Well, this word is used in these places, and this word is used in these places, and this word is used in these places. Well, that's what Young's Analytical Concordance does for you. There's more than one word that's translated the same way. This will break it down for you and tell you, all right, which word is it? So if I'm going to study it, I'm studying the right word, Bible word, okay? That's your Young's Analytical Concordance. All right, come on now. Yeah. Did we lose it?
No, I just wanted to mention
something. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's recommended that you use other ones along with it, not use any by themselves. That's the
yep.
Wise.
Yep. We'll get. Yep. Absolutely. So here, there's some other. Those are hardback. Let's talk about some electronics because I know we have a wide range in here. Okay. Some of you want the hardback or have some of them, and it has its advantages. Some of you want the others. All right. I gave you some eSword, Sword Searcher, Power Bible, Online Bible. Logos, I knew if I mentioned that, I'd have Bill Spence's attention. Logos has a free version. Okay, if I mention free, I have the rest of your attention. And it also has a paid version. Logos is a little bit like going to the car dealership. They will sell you something that costs as much money as you're willing to spend. Okay? But, you know, there is a free version. Now, you say, all right, what is all this stuff, right? This is eSword. This is a free download that you can download. It's got some of these tools built into it. Okay? Sword Searcher. They used to have a free version. When I looked it up this weekend, they're showing $59.95 for, you know, you can buy a lot of the books that are in there are $20-$30 a piece. I don't like Olive Tree as much, but my son loves it. Okay, the reason I don't like Olive Tree as much is because I have other tools that will do that. But Olive Tree is a great free resource. It has a desktop version and a mobile version. And if you sign in, you know, it'll kind of keep you up to date in both places. Okay, so that's another. You can, most all of these that are free have other resources you can buy, but you don't have to. Okay, Blue Letter Bible is one that's online, and they also have a mobile app. Okay, Online Bible is one that a lot of us had 20 years ago because it was one of the only ones that was out there that wasn't, you know, $1,000. But they still have a free version, and then you can buy, you know, paid resources with it. Power Bible CD, according to this, is $7. If it's $7, I like it. In my opinion, Power Bible CD is a lot easier to use than Online Bible, but it's what you get used to. Okay, I have friends that got used to Online Bible, really, really figured out how to use it, and so that's one of their main study tools. I'm not getting a commission from any of them. I'm just trying to throw out ideas, all right? We'll talk about it in a minute. There's Logos. If you search for Logos Basic, that's the free version. Okay, some basic tools. Here's another one that I'm not familiar with. By personal use, but I've read up on it a little bit. It's just called The Word. All free. And now, is this an exhaustive list? No. Is it exhausting? Maybe. Okay. Is this an exhaustive list? No. But what I'm trying to point out is that there are resources. You don't have to spend $1,000 to be able to have some tools to help you study your Bible. There, most of these that I've showed you this morning are free. There are other resources that are paid. Okay, you go in the pastor's library and you look at the bookshelves. You know, make sure you go, ooh. Okay, but those books that were on the bookshelves were not free downloads. Okay? Cost money. All right? And that's an investment that any pastor has to make. You know, just like if you're a carpenter, you're going to buy different tools. Right? But you don't have to say, well, I can never study the Bible unless I have. You can take two or three books like I'm showing you today that are, you know, 10, 15, 20 bucks a piece. You get one now and you get one in 3 or 4 months, or, you know, whenever the Lord gives you a few extra dollars and you put it towards that. I'm telling you, you can find some of these things in the used bookstore over here in Shelby, Goodwill's, Goodwill Salvation Army used bookstores. You can find these older study books that people are like, oh, well, this is old. I mean, that's old as gold a lot of times when it comes to Bible study. But you can find them 50 cents, $1, $2 at these different, you know, different places like that. But these are tools. Now, what Bill mentioned a minute ago is very appropriate here. They're tools. Are these, are all study tools given by inspiration of God? No. Okay? But are they helpful? Sure. Okay? Now, most of the, well, I'm going to say it this way. Every Bible dictionary was written by somebody that has a slant. Okay? Every lexicon, which is a fancy word for dictionary, but if it's a Hebrew or Greek one, they usually call it a lexicon. Okay? It's just a Greek dictionary or a Hebrew dictionary. But all of those were written by somebody that has a slant. All right? The key is, what was the slant of the guy that wrote it? Did he believe the Bible? Was he trying to support the fact that the Bible's God's word? Or is this guy trying to tell me that, well, the oldest and best manuscripts don't support this understanding? Is this guy trying to undercut what we've been taught? So all of these books you have to evaluate. But as far as the books that I'm recommending, I think that's their general approach. Okay? And are, you know, could we spend, you know, two entire Sunday school classes going through tools? Yeah. Okay? Do I need to? No. You have a question, you know, ask Pastor. Hey, Pastor, I saw this. Is this a good one? Ask Dr. Childs. Okay? I'll try to help you if I can. You know, there's others here. Hey, I saw this. Would this be a good one before I, you know, put a lot of money into it? But it doesn't do you any good if you have a shelf full of them if you don't take them down and use them. Okay? It's better to have two or three and wear them out. Okay, MySword. MySword is the eSword equivalent. And you can literally go on Google. You can go on the App Store or Google Play, wherever you get apps. You can literally go and search for free Bible study software and come up with more things than you care to read in an hour. Okay? There's tools out there, and that's my point. So I've got my personal preparation. I got to be saved. I got to be prayed up. I need the help of the Spirit of God. I've got my tools. All right? Now, here's some other practical tools. You remember this from grammar school way back when, your six friends? Who, what, where, when, why, how? Okay? If you don't understand the Bible, you're going to have to approach it. I know this is uncomfortable, but, you know, we have to make some application somewhere. You're going to have to approach it with your brain in gear. I just lost half my audience, didn't I? Exactly. Somebody wake up, Bill. But you have to approach it with your brain in gear. Now, let me give you the counterweight to that. Whatever size brain you have is enough to understand God's word with the help of the Spirit of God. Okay? You don't have to be Mr. Egghead seminary professor somewhere, or you have no hope of understanding God's word. But there's so many times that things are presented that way, it makes me mad. Okay? You don't have to be a genius to understand God's word. How many times did John say, my little children, my little children, my little children? Okay? Now, Peter at the same time said Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand. And that's absolutely the truth. Okay? But if you have the right approach, you have the Spirit of God, you have a copy of God's Word, you can understand the Bible. All right? And we've got to approach it from that standpoint. All right? So, pitfalls to avoid when I'm studying the Bible. Two pitfalls. One, studying for correct interpretation only. In other words, I'm just studying for knowledge. What does 1 Corinthians 13 say about that? Knowledge puffeth up. Okay? Makes us proud. Oh, I know this, and I know that, and I know this, and I know that. Okay? So on one hand, you can be so concerned, well, better get all dot all my I's and cross all my T's, and you know, I'm going to get this exactly right and drill it down and nail it down, and literal, grammatical, historical, Israel, church, you know, TR, King James, you know, did I touch all of them? I got all the boxes checked. All right, I'm done. I didn't do you any good. Okay? That does you no good if you don't say, all right, now, what does this mean for me? How do I use this? How do I live this? Okay? Now, on the other side, the pitfall on the other end of it is, man, the Bible doesn't do you any good if you use it. Let's use it. Hey, let's just take it and run with it. And if I'm going to take something and not spend a little time studying it, oh, hey, yeah, boom, I'm going to run forward. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say something that, you know, it sounded good. And I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling here for a minute. There's a lot of times that preachers will preach things that are Bible truth, but it's not in that passage. Okay? They're going to find a passage, and that sounds like something over here in another book. And when they preach it, what they're saying is Bible truth, but it didn't come out of that verse. Okay? If you studied that verse just for 10 minutes, you'd figure out, oh, that's not what this verse is talking about. You'd go back up in the chapter and see the flow. This verse isn't talking about that. Okay? You know, you got to be careful. All right? I could either turn them off and say, well, he used the wrong verse here, so I'm not listening to him. What is that? That's knowledge puffeth up. Right? But if you are studying for yourself, you need to do everything you can to do it right. Okay? You're studying to teach in Sunday school or preach or wherever. You have a responsibility to do the very best you can. Okay? And so, I've got to understand, I can't just say, oh yeah, that verse sounds like what I want to say, let me write it down. Okay? I got to study a little bit. Make sure, okay, is this what I think it is? Because you know what? If I study and this is what I think it is, I can preach with more confidence. I can teach with more. I can go back to my friend and say, yeah, this is what the Bible says. This verse right here, read this. I can go with confidence. That's exactly what it means. Okay? But the pitfalls on either end are to say, boy, I'm going to study without ever applying it. That does you no good. Okay? But it does no good for you or the people you're trying to help if you misapply Scripture because you didn't do a little research first. Okay? So on either end of the spectrum, we can get out of balance. What is the correct balance? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to wrap it up here for today. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's what I'm looking for. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What is that? That's Bible teaching. And I've got to make sure that I have my Bible teaching right. But now, is that it? All Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine? No, let's go on. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So three out of four things right there are application, are they not? For doctrine, reproof is to tell me where I'm wrong. Correction is to tell me how to make it right. Instruction in righteousness is telling me how to stay on the right path. Okay? Three out of four of those are using what you know. That is the Bible balance. I got to study and do my best to understand it correctly, then I got to use it. Okay? Is that too hard? Nothing that we've said today, with the possible exception of free download, is too hard for anybody in this room. Okay? Everything we've talked about is something you can do, you should do. And if we're going to be pleasing to the Lord, it's something that we must do. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word and the opportunity to study it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be diligent to study to show ourselves approved. I pray that your hand will be upon Pastor in the next hour now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.